After Christopher Yuan came to know Christ, it deeply affected his life.
For so long, I saw myself solely as being a gay man. That was such a big part of who I was. I went to a gay club, I went to a gay gym, I went to a gay grocery store, everything. All my friends were gay. And as I was reading scripture, I realized that I'd put my identity in the wrong thing. That my identity is not gay, is not homosexual, is not even heterosexual for that matter, but my identity as a child of God must be in Jesus Christ alone.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Friday, September 4th, 2015. If you're with young children, you'll need to know that today's program deals with mature subjects. Here's what we've heard from Angela Yuan and her son, Christopher, over the last few days.
My mom had given me an ultimatum, and she said, you must either choose the family or choose homosexuality.
Before, I just don't think I can ever love him because he said he was homosexual. But during that train ride, I think I should love my son, even though he said he was gay.
When my mother showed up at the dental school in Louisville, it was like, what are you doing back in my life? And so it was not what I wanted, not what I expected. But she came and said, I love you. I was experimenting with drugs, but I didn't have a lot of money as a student. So I came up with this idea that, well, maybe I could sell a little bit of drugs to pay for my own habit. And that's how it began. Unfortunately, it grew to a point where I was selling a lot of drugs. I opened my door, and on my front doorstep were 12 Federal Drug Enforcement agents, Atlanta police, and their two big German Shepherd dogs.
So it was a bad news to find out my son is in prison. And at that moment, for certain, this is where God answered my prayer.
And I was walking around the cell block, going over all of, you know, my life and how horrible it was now, the place I was in. And I was about to walk by this garbage can, and I looked on top of the trash. Right on top of it, I found a Gideon's New Testament. Often people will ask, who brought you to faith? Who shared the gospel with you? What ministry? Was it a prison ministry? You know, asking my mother. And as the kind of the thread that goes through our lives and our journey of faith to God, it was the Word of God. It was the Bible. It was Scripture. And I sat there in the nurse's office, and I just knew something was not right. And I looked down at this piece of paper, and I saw three letters and a symbol, and it read HIV positive.
When Christopher got a sentence, and it was 6 years, and I didn't feel that was so bad because I thought God is working in him and whatever it takes and put him in the jail. But when I received that news of Christopher's HIV status, that was like a death sentence.
It took time for me to know God first, know what he's done, know who he is, know his character, and then know me, know how I needed a savior and the idols that I had in my life. And that took a long time. And I think that last stronghold for me was my sexuality.
If you missed any of the story, you can hear all the programs at reviveourhearts.com. Now today, Christopher is going to talk about his progression from homosexuality to holiness. He describes it in a unique way, so I hope you'll pay attention and consider what he has to say. The goal for all of us in every season of life needs to be holiness. Here's Nancy to pick up the conversation.
Well, Angela Yuan and Christopher Yuan, mother and son, and dad sitting in the studio behind us, praying, cheering, and very much a part of the story as well. Mm-hmm. I can't thank you all enough for having shared your story in the book you've written, Out of a Far Country, A Gay Son's Journey to God, and A Broken Mother's Search for Hope. Angela and Christopher, thank you so much. You've given hours of your time to share with our listeners this week, and I just know God's going to use it to bear much fruit. Thank you, thank you.
Thanks, Nancy, for having us.
Thank you, Nancy.
And I love the fact that, you know, this is not a sugar-coated story. And it's not one with a, you know, Angela, you prayed a few prayers and all of a sudden there's a happy ever after ending. Even Christopher, as you're in that prison cell with what you thought at the time was a 6-year sentence, and then having received an HIV positive sentence on top of that, and God's at work in your heart, you're reading the scripture, you're in the process of coming to faith because you've come to the end of yourself. But even then, it was unfolding over a period of time as God was changing you. And when we got to the end of the last program, you talked about how he was dealing with some of the idols of your heart,
yes.
The first one being drugs and drug
yes.
addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of several months, he set you free from that desire. Is that something that you've struggled with since, the desire for drugs, or did he just finally take that away?
It's not something I really struggle with, though I know that that is probably one of my weaknesses, and I know I need to be careful to have boundaries and not to put myself in situations.
Or you could
but
be tempted.
That's not a stronghold anymore, and I believe kind of that we all have strongholds or we all have issues that we really wrestle with, but that really isn't a major issue anymore.
But then there was another issue that the Lord began to deal with you about, which it was longer than a few months
yes.
of wrestling it through. And you just mentioned it at the end of the last program, and it had to do with your sexuality.
Yes.
How did you start to process that? You'd been for years in the gay lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
acting out homosexuality, very promiscuous life, and you were deep, deep, deep into that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're coming to faith in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with this whole thing of your sexuality?
Well, you know, I lived as a gay man for years. And then in prison, as I was just kind of, God was drawing me to himself. And I began to ask myself this question as I saw how God said, "You shall not have any idols before me." And I asked myself the question, what is it in my life that I feel like I cannot live without?
Which would be what an idol is, really.
Which is exactly what an idol was, because I thought, if I really think I cannot live without this, then this is an idol. I thought at the time that I could kind of have my cake and eat it too. I could have God and I could still be gay and still have this sex and sexuality. But as I was reading scripture, I came across those passages which seemed to condemn homosexuality. And so I went to a prison chaplain. I asked him his opinion. And, you know, surprisingly, this prison chaplain told me that the Bible doesn't condemn homosexuality. He gave me a book to read, started reading it, but, you know, I see this as God's grace because I didn't just simply read the book. I put the Bible right next to it. And so whenever this book mentioned scripture, I would open up the Bible and I wouldn't read that verse. I would read the whole chapter, the context. What I saw was not the same as the conclusions that this author came to, but really, I wanted to agree with this book. I had everything within me that wanted to find the justification so I didn't have to change. I didn't have to set anything aside. And I really believe it was the power of the Holy Spirit that was beginning to work in me that pointed out that this book was distorting the Word of God. It was twisting Scripture and to try to justify something that was not justifiable. So I set the book aside, gave it back to the chaplain, and I just turned to the Bible alone.
So you realized you had a choice to make there.
I did.
Were you going to accept the Word of God
yes.
as Lord of your life,
mm-hmm.
or were you going to hang on to your idol?
Yes. And so I thought, well, okay, let's just set aside the passages in the Scripture that condemn homosexuality. And so I was like, I'm going to look at all the rest of Scripture. So if, let's just say those six passages are up in the air, you know, which I personally now don't believe they are, but let's just say they are. Let me look at the rest of Scripture to see if there's any positive justification for homosexuality to bless homosexual relationships. And I read through the entire Bible looking for where God might bless homosexual monogamous relationships. There was nothing. And so that was when I was like, I knew I had to either choose God, the Bible, or homosexuality and living as a gay man.
You knew you couldn't have both.
I couldn't have both. But that wasn't so easy because I still had these temptations and struggles within me. And I really thought that I had to become straight to please God, that I needed to somehow be attracted to women and to get married to please God, to all these things. But as I read through Scripture, I saw, you know, heterosexuality, to be straight, meant to be attracted to women. And yet that encompassed adultery, fornication, lust. And this term of heterosexuality was too broad of a term. And so even if I did become heterosexual, I would still have to be obedient to God.
So somebody can be homosexual and sin. Somebody can be heterosexual and sin sexually.
Yes, we can have these feelings of heterosexuality and have these feelings of homosexuality.
Not be pleasing to God.
And still not be pleasing to God. So I, you know, was reading through Scripture, pouring, you know, over the Word of God, and I came across a passage which is so profound. And it said, "Be holy, for I am holy." Regardless of whether your passions, your desires, your temptations, struggles change, God is calling us to live a life of obedience. God is calling us to live a life of holiness. And so I realized that the opposite of homosexuality is not heterosexuality, but the opposite of homosexuality is holiness. The opposite of any struggle with sin is not to not sin, but it's to be holy. It's to be like Christ.
And that was really the spring out of which your own identity began to be not your sexual identity, but your identity in Christ.
Because for so long, I saw myself solely as being a gay man. That was such a big part of who I was. I went to a gay club. I went to a gay gym. I went to a gay grocery store. And as I was reading Scripture, I realized that I'd put my identity in the wrong thing. That my identity is not gay, is not homosexual, is not even heterosexual for that matter, but my identity as a child of God must be in Jesus Christ alone.
And as you began to pursue that identity, the Lord began to make it clear to you that He had plans for your life.
He did.
That were way different than
so much different.
Anything you'd ever imagined. In fact, you began to sense a call to go into ministry.
Yes. It was God, as during this time, He was giving me all these opportunities to share the gospel with these inmates that knew they were sinners. And I would just come right in and open up the Bible, share the gospel to them. And these people were coming to faith. I was leading Bible studies. I was preaching in prison. And that was when I felt a strong calling to full-time ministry while I was in prison. And I knew no matter where I was, whether I was in prison for 6 years, 20 years, 30 years, that I was going to serve God. Whether I was in for a few months, I was going to serve God. Because it didn't matter where I was, whether in prison or out of prison, because that calling would remain the same. And when that kind of change of heart happened, that's when God did another miracle. I mean, all the miracles. He's done so many miracles, but He did another miracle, and He shortened my sentence from 6 years to 3 years.
And more of that story is told in this book, Out of a Far Country. And it is an amazing story.
Yes.
It's a God story.
It is.
Yes. But so clear that God was setting you apart for His kingdom purposes and blessing your obedience and your responsiveness to Him, which He gave you the grace to respond. And so when you realize that your sentence was going to be shortened, you called your mom. And I know, Angela, you've got to remember this call when he said, he told you what he wanted to do when he got out of prison?
Yes. When he was going to the court for resentence. And when he said that, in my mind, I just feel, it doesn't matter you are in prison or outside the prison, because when you receive God, you are free. So I just praise God. You know, this is my dream.
And then when he found out he was going to be, the sentence was reduced.
Yes.
And he was going to be released. Mm-hmm. He told you he wanted an application.
Yeah. He said, I want to go to a Bible college to learn more about the Bible. And he said, could you send me the application from Moody Bible Institute? At that moment, I realized he is coming home. Oh, he was coming home. Because before, I didn't know what he was going to do. He might still want to stay in Atlanta with his friend. Or when he said he was coming back from Moody, and I said, oh, he's coming home, you know, coming back to Chicago. I was just rejoiced.
And what made you say, think about going to Moody Bible Institute?
It's so interesting because before I had really gone in that direction, but my parents had come to know the Lord, they would play Moody Radio.
And this program's airing on many Moody stations right now, mm-hmm. so the Moody listeners will appreciate mm-hmm. this.
And I thought at first it was just annoying, but it was planting seeds that—
Did you turn it up so he would hear it real loud?
We have an intercom.
So in your house?
Every place we go.
You play Moody Radio?
From morning to the night, we turn it on when we get— You know, when we start the day, then we shut it off when we go to sleep.
So thank the Lord for WMBI, right?
I know.
Yes.
So the preaching, the teaching, those songs. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was planting seeds even when my parents did not think they were planting seeds. So I remembered, okay, I know there's some school in Chicago called Moody. Didn't know much about it, but I wanted to go to Bible college, and I knew that was a Bible college. I knew of no other Bible college, so asked my parents to mail me that application mm-hmm. to Moody Bible Institute.
And then you ran into a little trouble with the application.
Well, because, you know, I did the essays, questions, and they asked me, as all Bible colleges and Christian schools do ask, they ask for references to make sure what you're saying goes in line with
reality. Yeah, where were you going to get those?
Well, unfortunately, they asked me not just for any references, but they asked me for people who knew me as a Christian for at least 1 year. And I had become a Christian in prison. And the only people I could find was a prison chaplain, a prison guard, and another prison inmate to write my references to
Moody Bible Institute.
So amazingly, Moody actually accepted me. And I was released from prison in July of 2001 and started the very next month in August.
And have since graduated from Moody.
Yes.
And then a master's degree from Wheaton College.
Yes.
In
Master of Arts in Biblical Exegesis.
Biblical exegesis, studying the original languages.
Yes.
You're a man of the word. You love proclaiming the word, working on a doctorate of ministry now. And doing a ton of ministry, mm-hmm. sharing your testimony along with your parents. But there was still a sweet time coming up when you got out of prison.
Yes.
And we're going to be reunited with your family, and I want our listeners to hear about how that unfolded.
Well, it was such an amazing— I mean, just like my mother said, the fact that I wanted to come home, because I still, for a time, I thought my home was Atlanta, and now that I thought I am going to come home, and when I get out of prison, I'm going to go to Chicago. So my parents drove down to pick me up. I had like what they call a furlough. They gave me a few hours to drive from the prison, and then I needed to check into the halfway house within a few hours. And they gave me some leeway time where we could actually swing by home. And so I knew that we were going to swing by home. So we drove up from southern Illinois back up to Chicago suburbs. And it was just— I just could not believe it. I mean, 3 years actually doesn't seem like a long time, but just I was, you know.
Well, you'd been a lot longer than that you'd been out of communication with each other and estranged from each other.
Yes. And so we were driving up, and we pulled up to our home. And as we pulled up to our home, we had this big tree in our front yard, and around it was tied a yellow ribbon. And I thought, oh, that's so special, you know. So we parked the car and we get out, and we walked up to the door, and we opened up the door, and in our hallway were 100 yellow ribbons. And I looked at them, and they were all signed by someone. I didn't know who, and they had scripture written on some of these yellow ribbons. Oh, I mean, just all over. And my mom explained to me, these are all from people who've been praying for you. Strangers I've never known. Many people I've still yet to meet. Praying for me for years, those times that I was estranged, had nothing to do with my parents while I was in prison, and they were welcoming me home. And I remember Mom said, welcome home. And I think it was at that moment that I knew that I was home. I was finally home.
And home, not just to your parents, but to the Lord, which is what you had wanted and prayed for all these years, wasn't it, Angela?
Yes. You know, that just show the picture of our God. He has his arm. He was always wide open to receive the prodigal son, someone like myself or my son. He's calling all the prodigal sons home to his arms. He's welcoming us, no matter how far the country we were, and no matter what we have done, what we have said, and he's there waiting for us. That was his desire, to calling each one of us home.
Well, I know God has been in the process, and he is, of calling prodigals home who've been listening to this story this week, and not just prodigal children, but prodigal moms. And maybe your story isn't as dramatic. Maybe you're a self-righteous older brother prodigal, and you haven't lived out a promiscuous lifestyle or drugs or haven't divorced your mate, but your heart's been far in the far country from the Lord, and he may be calling you home. Maybe you're the parent of a prodigal or the wife or daughter of a prodigal. And I love the picture in those yellow ribbons of all those people who joined with you in praying.
Yes.
And I think of how many parents, Angela, in a situation like yours who wouldn't want any of their friends to know. My son's in the gay lifestyle. My son's in prison for drug charges. I mean, that's so hard. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. But you and your husband, as you found grace through Christ, wanted that grace for your son, and so you involved others in praying with you for your son. And all those years, God was hearing those prayers. He was answering when it didn't look like he was. And he was using all those believers' prayers together to be a part of the journey of calling this prodigal home. And I love to think now about how God is, you know, what the enemy intended as such a victory for his kingdom.
Yes.
All those years that both of you were in the far country, you think of how he's getting a black eye now. As you are out, both of you and your husband, Angela, proclaiming the truth that sets people free.
Yes.
And everywhere you go, there are people getting out of prison, people coming home, prodigals coming home. And so not only did the enemy not keep you both in the far country, but he's now using you as instruments to call others home from that far country.
Nancy Lee DeMoss has been talking with Angela Yuan and her son Christopher. They'll be right back. One of the ways God is using their story is through the book they wrote called Out of a Far Country. We've been telling you about the book all this week and offering to send you a copy when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any amount. Today's the final day I'll be telling you about that offer, so I hope you'll visit reviveourhearts.com. Make a donation of any amount, and we'll send one book per household to show our thanks for your support. You can also call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. You know, one problem with fear is that it brings along its buddies into your life. Karen Loritz will tell us how fear and his buddies tempted her in a stressful season. I hope you'll hear the very real and very encouraging story on Monday. And now Nancy's back to wrap up our story with Christopher Yuan. I think we've all been encouraged to hear how God answered a mother's prayer and the prayer of so many others.
And I believe there are a lot of people listening to us today who would just love to have somebody pray for them, as those people prayed for you, Christopher, over those years. And I wonder if you just close this series by praying for prodigals or prodigal children of those listening, that God would draw their hearts home, and in that way you become a part of, you're writing on a yellow ribbon for those that God is drawing home. If you would just lead us in praying for those who may be listening who need that kind of prayer support right now, I'd appreciate it so much.
Father, we thank you that you are a loving God, that you know what's best for us. And I just pray, Father, that you would break through into the lives of these children, these prodigals, whether it's a prodigal husband or another loved one, Lord, that you would do whatever it takes to bring them to yourself. And Father, we just want to praise you for the work that you continue to do in their lives and our lives. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.